Hallelujah. God is rewriting who we are. He has transformed us. He has made us new. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. The world loves labels, don't they? Oh, man. If you had a sticker for every label the world had that fit you, man, we wouldn't even know what you look like. You'd be like a walking sticker. But thank God that God has washed all of that away and has given you the label of his son, his daughter. We belong to God. There is no greater identity than child of God, than being the son or the daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. The world is old. It's old, people. Trust me, it's old. There's nothing new under the sun. Isn't that what Solomon said? It's just a repeat of the repeat. It's new to people because they didn't live in the time when it was done before. So it's not new. It's just come around again. But when you have eternal life and eternal perspective, you see it happening over and over and over again. And that's why history is so important. Isn't that right? Yeah. If you don't know history, you're destined to repeat it, it's been said, right? And so it's so important for us to know what God has done in the past so that we can have confidence in him going into the future. And that is what makes life so exciting. It's the fact that this has all been done before, so we have examples to glean from, to learn from. And as we walk with God, we are changed. God is in the life-changing business. That is what he does. He creates, and then he transforms and makes new over and over again, especially in a sin-cursed world. Do you know that the world is cursed? There's a curse on this world. In fact, Jesus said the world is condemned already. And so many people believe that being a part of the kingdom of God, being a Christian, has condemnation attached to it. But that is not true. That is a lie from the devil. Christianity is the one religion, the only belief system that frees you from condemnation. It is the one thing that Jesus came to do. So we don't have to condemn because the world is condemned already. Jesus said it, right? You don't kick people when they're down. Right? No. The referee comes in and says, oh, back up, and just does the count. One, two, three, right? You watch boxing? Yeah, right? When you're down, there's no need to kick them. No need to hold them down. It's not like wrestling where you want to pin them down and hold them. And even then, you got to hold them just for a minute, and then you got to let go. And that's the way we go through life. When you're down, when people around us are down, you got to let it go. And then you back up and you let God give them the count. And then the Lord will raise you up again. The word of God says the righteous may fall seven times, but they rise again. Hallelujah. You are not meant to be kept down. You are meant to continuously rise up. Rise up. The world is designed to bring you down, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is designed to lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is why we come to the house of the Lord, because it is the place where we celebrate and we give thanks, and the Spirit of God dwells in this place. The Spirit of God dwells in this place. I'll never forget our realtor when we were walking through this place the day before we closed. And every time we would come here and walk through, there was this weird, funky, bizarre atmosphere. But that day of the closing. That day we came in, the realtor pointed out to us that the atmosphere had changed. Something was different. And all of a sudden, we all were in agreement. Something has changed. And then he said, the bad juju spirit is gone. Hallelujah. I think we should have that on the plaque, you know. The bad juju spirit is gone. Who knows what kind of voodoo was going on in this place before the Spirit of the Lord came in. But when the Spirit of the Lord came in, it changed everything. It has changed everything. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. And this is where the joy of the Lord abides, where the strength of God abides. God has done an amazing thing, a powerful thing in the midst of our lives. We have been going through a metamorphosis. There's been a series of transformations and changes in our life. When we left my house and went over to 17M, and we went from the prefab, we called it the bowling alley, into the little cottage house. And then we went from there to Coates Drive, and from there, here. Hallelujah. You see how God moved us. I remember when Daisy and Joey got married in the little prefab bowling. You guys remember that? Remember we were walking, they were walking single file down the aisle because Daisy's dress was so wide and big, and we only had one aisle's worth of row. It was not even as wide as this right here in the middle. It was like, if you take one chair out, that's about how much space we had. And we were going down. So I'd never seen a bride and groom come down the aisle single file. Right? But man, what a day that was. But look where God has brought us. Look what God has done. And God has been faithful. And he's been faithful to us as a church. And because he's been faithful to us as a church, you can count on the fact that he will be faithful to you as a family of the church. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not let you down. When you are faithful to him, he is faithful to you. To the degree that you hold on to God, that's the degree that God holds on to you. And when you are walking in faithfulness with God, not perfection, none of us are perfect, but when your heart is genuinely for the Lord and you are seeking after him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and you love your brethren as you love yourself, God will never let you go. He will never let you go. And that is why we're talking about metamorphosis. We're talking about this transforming power of God, part of our renewable energy series. God is always renewing your strength. He says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, he will direct you. He will give you direction. He will enable you when you wait upon him to renew your strength. You will have the wings like an eagle and you will soar. You will run and not be weary. You will walk. You will walk and not be weary. You will run and not faint. God will breathe new life into you. He will strengthen you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, be like the Energizer Bunny with a fresh set of double D's, right? Boom, 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 boom. And God will give you power, strength, right? Hallelujah. Like a bolt of strength and power. That's what the Lord does. He breathes life into us. And we see this in the Word of God over and over again as God has given so many people a brand new start. God has given us a brand new start in this place. This is a brand new start. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. Whatever the mistakes were and all the errors and all the challenges and difficulties were in our past, God says, start new. Start fresh and start new. And that is what God is doing in the midst of our lives. That is what God is doing. you and I are like tadpoles swimming in the water. Did you know that a tadpole doesn't stay a tadpole? You know that, right? He transforms into a frog. That's right. And as he is being transformed, this is called a metamorphic change, right? He's being transformed from one form to another. But does that tadpole know that he's going to be a frog? What do you think? My wife and I were having a debate over this. Does the tadpole know he's going to be a frog? And I don't know. I think we came to the conclusion, yeah, I don't think so. You know, because the Word of God tells us that one day you and I, we will be changed. And he says, we do not know what we shall be. We don't know. But we do know this, that we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do we know what we're going to be like when we get into the presence of God and we have new life and all the new creation that God has done for us? We can't even ask or imagine that. Oh. So I would say the tadpole has no idea that he's going to become a frog. All he knows is he's a tadpole. He's swimming around with all the other fish in the pond. And that is the way we are as the people of God. We're swimming around the pond with all the other fish, and we think we're just like everybody else. But we're not. We're not. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. God is changing us. You see, the tadpole is looking similar to, he's kind of uglier than other fish, but he's made like them. And he's swimming around just like the fish. But one day, change begins to happen. You know, I don't even think the tadpole realizes that something changed. All of a sudden, he just starts using his new parts. It's just a part of his everyday life. He doesn't even realize the extent. And you see how big his head is getting? Yeah, I think that's unavoidable with some of us, isn't it? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Sometimes you just got to look at him and go, yeah, that head is just getting, something is going on there. And then one day, it looks like a frog. And then you say, why does that frog have a tail? It's because of what he was. The tail is the reminder of what he was. And you and I, we are being transformed. And God is changing us. And there are little things about us that remind us of who we were. But we must hold on to what we will be. And we must let those things go so that we can be made new. Hallelujah. Boy, that's a big difference, isn't it? Hallelujah. There's a big difference. But that frog has left the pond floating and swimming in the water with the fish. And now he's on the land, and he's just sitting on the edge of the water. Oh, he's still in the mud, right? You see that? He's still in the mud, so he's still got some issues there. But at least he has become a new creation. He has become a new creation. And that is what God is doing for you and I. He is transforming us, and you and I are being made new. There's more to life than what you see. There's more to life than what you see. You might be swimming around in the pond and you see all the other fish and you just assume that your life is no different than theirs. But I guarantee you that one day you will no longer be in the midst of them. You will find yourself changed, transformed into the image of Christ. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word, and we ask, oh God, that you would do a new thing in us. Transform us, mold us, shape us. God, make us to be the people you've called us to be. Raise us up, oh God, and make us new. Let your word today minister to the very depths of our hearts, that our minds would be renewed, that we would grab on and hold on to the reality that you are doing a new thing in us, that old things are passed away and all things are made new, that we are new creations in Christ. But change takes time. One day at a time, you are making us new and giving us new opportunities to be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks, oh God, for all these things. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we know that there's more to life than what you see. Nothing is as you think it is. There's always more to the story. There's always more to people's lives, to the situation that you're aware of and that you're involved in. There's more to it. And often, it's so deep that we will never know what all of the dynamics are that went into the situations of life that we've faced. But God does. He knows. And as a result, he is patient with us. He knows what we don't know. He understands what we don't understand. And he is able to navigate us through the challenges and the difficulties of life. And he's changing us through each and every experience that we face. Nothing that we go through in life is wasted. God uses it all. He uses it all to make us what he is making us to be. And yes, change takes time. Change is something that doesn't happen in a microwave minute. It takes time. Hallelujah. Even a microwave doesn't change anything. Even a microwave doesn't manifest anything. All it does is heat it up. Hallelujah. That's all it does, is it heats it up. You can't program the microwave to create a meal for you. But the one who creates the meal spends time putting all of the ingredients together, bringing all of the parts together, all of the different elements of the meal, so that when you finally have that plate, hallelujah, it's got love in it. It's got time and energy invested. And as a result, you can now heat it up if it's cooled down. And God is saying, I created you. I am investing time in you. I am with you for the long haul. The challenges and the difficulties of life are there to make you better. I have a plan for your life. And that plan you may never realize or never know. But trust me, God is doing something in your life. And we see this in this very experience that we're talking about here today, through a metamorphosis as we go into this new series for this month. And God wants us to know and to understand that we are changing, even when you don't see it, even when you're not aware of it, even when you don't even understand it. God is doing something new. It is taking place. It's part of your DNA. If you have received Christ, you have been fused together in Christ. You are a joint heir. That means you're fused together in Christ, and you are becoming more and more like him. God is doing a new thing. Metamorphosis is this process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form in two or more distinct stages. There are stages that these animals go through, these creatures go through in the animal world as well as in the amphibious world. You know, as we've seen here in the frog, these transformations take place in stages. And you and I are going through stages. Every life has its own stage. It's a different existence when you're an infant, when you're a baby, when people are carrying you around and people are caring for you. It's different experience when you become a preteen and you're going through life and you're starting to realize who you are and put together the identity that you are becoming. And as you become a teenager, learning how to fit in with others around you and finding your place in the world. And then as a young adult in your 20s, you find yourself trying to find your place in society so that you can be used in a way and be effective at gaining new life and strength and providing for yourself and standing on your own so that you no longer have to be cared for. We all go through different stages in life. And the older you get, the more you're transformed until one day you begin to produce your own little tadpoles who start the process again. And that goes around and around. And if you're fortunate, you become a grandparent or a great-grandparent, and the process just keeps going around and around, and you're helping each generation understand who they are in Christ and in God and what they have been created to be. And God is doing a new thing, so that hope is passed on from one generation to the next. Understanding who you are in Christ is passed on from one generation to the next. This change of the form or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means is a work of God. It's a work of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is transforming us. He's renewing us. He's making us new. We're all being changed little by little. You may not realize it. You may think, oh, man, like Paul said, wretched man that I am. Oh, the things I want to do, I don't do them. The things I don't want to do, I do those things. I don't even, oh, he says, look at me, I'm a mess. Have you ever said that about yourself? I know I have. But God says, you're a son. He says, it doesn't matter all those things, you're my son. You're my daughter. You belong to me. I created you. I took the time to make you the person that you are. I designed you so that you would be the way you are, look the way you are, think the way you think, because I want to use you for my own glory. Oh, I have a plan for your lineage. It's bigger than you. It's about your lineage, the part of you that goes on for generation to generation to generation. So I want to begin here by saying God uses these unforeseen experiences of life to transform us and draw us closer to Him. God is drawing us. He's using these experiences. Listen, if you don't pursue God and seek God, God causes things to happen in your life that will force you to your knees, that will force you to call on God, that will force you to be reconciled to Him, that will force you to want to come home. He says, come home, come home, come back to me. God is calling us. He's compelling us. He loves us so much. No one takes their kid out to a busy place and lets them run off and says, all right, go ahead then. Right? You ever do that with your kid? No. What do? Hey, come back here. Where are you going? Right? And you go after them, right? You chase them down, and then you grab them, and you're like, didn't I tell you to bring your kid? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What are you, crazy? Right? Why? Why are you so vigorous when with your grabbing and reconciling your child, bringing them back when they've run off in a busy place? Why? Because the world is an evil place. Isn't that right? The world is an evil place. Anything could happen at any time. You don't have any idea how evil the world can be until it happens to you. And we are all aware of all the evil. In fact, TV is designed to promote all of the evil in the world so everyone can know how evil the world is. And that is why there's a spirit of fear in the world. And there's a spirit of anxiety. And that's why Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I have overcome the world. And so in Ruth chapter 1, this is a beautiful story. We see how God is doing something powerful here. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, it says, then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. Oh, hallelujah. Every time you have food, you can say, the Lord has visited me. Hallelujah. The Lord has visited me. You see, there was a famine in the land, and Israel was famined, and it was largely because of the scenarios that they faced. You see, this takes place during the time of the judges. Joshua had died, and the Israelites had taken the land, and they had all been positioned, and time had gone by, and now everybody was comfortable in their new place. They were in the promised land. Oh, they settled in. And once they settled in, they got comfortable with their neighbors and the people around them. And they decided that they were going to do what they wanted to do. And that's what God told Moses was going to happen, that they were going to forget. In fact, God wanted them to know that he reminded them that this was going to happen and taught them a song that basically told of how they were going to rebel against the Lord. Isn't that something? That's just crazy, isn't it? God taught them a song that condemned themselves so that the generations later, when they heard the song, they would be like, uh-oh, that's us. We did exactly what the song says. And that is exactly what the world does today. The world writes songs about the condemned state that the world is in. And they sing all about it. They worship all of the evil that people do and the crazy mentalities that people have. And God is giving those songs as a testimony against the very conditions of the world. And that's what they were experiencing. And so here is Naomi, her and her family and her husband and her two sons and their family. They went into the land of Moab, which is a questionable place to go. Moab, you know, the Moabites, those are the people who came out of Lot and his daughter's incestuous relationship after they left Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God said, these Moabites are going to be troublesome for you. But God did not curse them because he had promised Abraham's seed to be a blessing. And so they were not allowed to be touched by the Israelites. And so they were kind of in this funky, kind of weird relationship together and as a people. And so they kind of went over there because there was food. Listen, when you're hungry, you're going to where the food is. Isn't that right? You ever been hungry before? Right? Do you ever just say, we'll wait till tomorrow, see what happens? No. You go to where the food is. And sometimes it's not always the best, but you say, hey, I got to eat something. And so you go where the food is. And so that's what they did. But then there came a day when the famine was over and they went back. They went back to where they had come from, back to the land of Israel. And so after this whole experience, her husband had died. She was an older woman, and her husband had died in the land of Moab. But not only did her husband die, her two sons died. And so she's leaving this place where she was with her two daughters-in-laws, and so they start on their way back to Judah, where they were originally from. And Naomi says to her two daughters, hey, you know, you guys are Moabite women, you know, because her two sons married Moabite women. And, you know, that's always dangerous. And it's dangerous because the Moabites did not serve the Lord. They had turned their backs on God, and they were serving Chemosh, which is a form of Baal worship, if you will, with child sacrificing and all types of sexual perversion and all kinds of crazy, lewd stuff. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so God's concern for the Israelites from the time they left Egypt to them going into the wilderness was that the nations around them would influence them and keep them from serving the Lord. And this is God's concern today. God's concern is that the people of God who raise their children in the house of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord, according to the word of God, would find their children serving false gods. Going out into this world of perversion, serving Chemosh and Baal and Beelzebub and all these other evil spirits that were operating in the world back then are still operating today. Did you know that those spirits are still in the world today? Oh, absolutely. When Jesus was casting out demons, they didn't go to some place and never come back. They just waited in the world somewhere. The Word of God says that they go to and fro looking for another place to go. And spirits don't die. They're eternal beings. And so those same spirits are in the world today, and spirits need hosts. Spirits need hosts. And so they abide upon the lives of the people. And that's why when you're engaging people, you're dealing with spirits and spiritual influences over people's lives. And you and I understand that. And that's why we are filled with the Spirit of God, so that no other spirit can have its way in. We are making sure we rise up in the morning and we abide in Him. We call upon His name. We ask Him to wash us and cleanse us and make us new. And we allow the Spirit of God to renew us. And we learn this from the time that we're tadpoles swimming in the water. And we start to get a little leg and a little hand when we start to learn how to kick the devil. I got to kick that devil away. I got to swim away. Otherwise, you end up like all the other fish. God says, I'm doing a new thing in you. I'm transforming you. And so Naomi says, go back to where you came from, ladies. You guys, you have served me well. You have done well. But I think you should go back to your mom's house. Go back to your mother's house. And she says, may the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. In other words, you've been good daughters-in-laws. You've been good wives. You have been good to me. And based on the goodness that you have shared, may God reward you according to your deeds. This is what you would call the sowing and reaping principle that operates in the world. What you sow will come back to you. If you sow evil, evil will come back to you. If you sow goodness and you sow faithfulness, if you sow righteousness and truth, if you treat other people well, if you have a joyful heart towards people or in the presence of people, whatever spirit you're operating under, that is what will come back to you. You will draw those same spirits to you. So if you're stoic and harsh and cold, you will find yourself comfortable around other stoic and harsh and cold people, because that's what you have sown. That's what's coming out of you. And so often we find people who are uncomfortable with the atmosphere of liberty, where the Spirit of God is working and flowing, where the love of God is expressed and felt and known, and where the righteousness of Christ is at work. There are all types of blends of dynamics of all of these different things that go into making a plate of food where people can eat. And that plate, when it gets heated up, provides a specific type of nourishment that enables people to become changed into whatever that food is. So as you eat, you are. Isn't that what they say? You are what you eat. And that is why it's so important to be in an atmosphere where you're getting good, solid food, where there is a manifestation. Hallelujah. If you want to know what kind of church you're in, just look at the people around you. And if they're loving and they're caring people, if they're looking at you with a heart of love and their desire is to see you grow and mature in your walk with God, and they're bringing joy into your life, they spark joy. But if they're evil and they're harsh and they're cold and they're careless, or they pretend like you're not even there, and you can go in and out for weeks and months and nobody says anything to you and nobody even knows you were there or you weren't there, and other than that, you know that one day you're going to be like them. And whatever you see, that's what you're going to become. And that's why you want to be in a place where there is life. You want to be in a place where there is everlasting life. Well, you know there's life. If you see the kids got life, then you know life has trickled down. Hallelujah. Because the kids are the fruit of the parents. Hallelujah. And that's why when parents don't worship, their kids don't worship. And to the extent that the parents worship, that's the extent that the kids will worship. Guaranteed, 100% spiritual law and principle. Watch it. I've been watching it for decades. If you got a jumping parent, you're going to have a jumping kid. If you have a parent that sits like this, you're going to have a kid that sits like this. And whatever you are, whatever you're doing in that seat, in that congregation, you are replicating that, and it's going to go from generation to generation to generation. And one day, they're either going to have the strength to resist the world or not. And it all depends on how you respond in worship, how you respond to the Word of God being manifested in your life. And that is why when God says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, you say, bring it on, Lord. Give me life. Give me strength. Give me power. Oh, God, raise me up in the fullness of your spirit. And every day you will begin to change. You will be transformed into the image of God. God will make you new. He will indeed grant you new life. Hallelujah. And he will make a way for you. He will open doors for you. Ruth says, the Lord grant to you that you may find a home and rest, each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and they wept aloud. She sends them off. She tells them, go home. Go back to your family. Go back to the Moabites. I'm going back to Israel. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. Why? They had tasted something. You see, Naomi was in a foreign land, but she held on to her relationship with God. And when your relationship with God is authentic, it impacts other people's lives for the sake of the kingdom of God. These young ladies, well, younger ladies, they wanted what Naomi had. They didn't want to let her go. A love bond had formed between them. She was their mother. She watched over them. She cared for them. She ministered to them like a godly mother would do. She represented the kingdom of God. She represented who God made her out to be. And there she was with them. And Naomi says, no, 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 you're Moabite women. You need to go back to the land of the Moabites. And it was probably because she knew how the Israelites felt about the Moabites. They weren't very well liked. And so she said, you go home and go with your families. But Naomi, she said, no. And I believe that it implies in the scripture that they both decided they were going to go back, but they started going, but then along the way, Naomi was thinking about it, and she turned around and came back. She came back, and it says, look, she said, she turned back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight. Should I bear sons? Can I bear sons? And if I did, would you wait? Would you be there waiting for my sons to grow up so you could marry them? She says, come on, no, that's just too much. She says, my daughters, it's far more bitter for me than for you that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Saints of God, her perspective was that the hand of the Lord was against her. Why? Because her husband died. Her two sons died. It's a terrible thing to see your own children die. She was suffering great remorse over the death of her son. She outlived them. And we know that she was an older woman just by the nature of what is being said here in this text. And we know that these women were thinking about leaving, but they said, no, we don't want to go. And they were fighting and they were holding on. But Naomi was convincing. And so Ruth and Orpah started to go. But then Ruth said, I don't want to leave. And I believe she was taking those steps to leave, but then she said, you know, I am not going to go. I am not going to go. And this is an interesting thing because in Deuteronomy 7:1, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. Do you see that? It says that when the Lord your God delivers you from them and you defeat them, then you shall utterly what? Destroy them. Are the Moabites in that list? No. No, they're not. They're not enemies of God. Interesting. But they are marked as a dangerous people, and the Lord was careful to protect the Israelites from them. And it says, you shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will what? Turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. This is the biggest issue in the history of the world. God is concerned about people turning our sons and our daughters away from serving the Lord. And that is exactly what is happening in our society today. There is a great concerted effort, more so than ever before, I believe, certainly in our lifetime, where there is a direct, deliberate, intentional work taking place to turn our children away from the Lord. So you and I have to understand why it's important for us to walk with God in the wisdom and the power of God. It says, the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. Why? Because you've become like them. And this is where the curse is manifested. Once you take on the mentality of the world, you put yourself under a curse, under the curse of the world. You are moved from the place of blessing to the place of condemnation, the curse. If you don't leave Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels of the Lord come to you to tell you to flee, then when the fire and brimstone comes down upon the city, you will burn with it. And this is a principle that exists in every aspect of life. And that is why we must be faithful to God. We must listen and hear his voice and follow his ways. God removes and separates his people from anyone who can potentially prevent or hinder them from wholly following God. God will move people out of your life. When your heart is right with God and your desire is to serve the Lord will move people. He'll move people who are a hindrance. And when God is working his plan and there's people who show up that are a hindrance to the plan of God, God moves them. God will move them out of the way. You don't have to argue. You don't have to fuss. You don't have to fight. All you do is stand in the truth of God, in the righteousness of God. I've been doing this a long time. I've seen it over and over and over again. God moves people who aren't right, and they are wiped out. They don't prosper, and they keep going around in circles like in the wilderness. And you and I are under the covering of the Spirit of God, of the Word of God. It's a blood covenant. And when you are called according to God's purpose, you will prevail. God will make a way for you. You will overcome. No weapon will formed against you will prosper. It cannot. It cannot. Because the Lord your God is with you, even to the very end of the age. And so in verse 14, it says that Orpah and Ruth, they wept aloud, and they kissed their mother-in-law goodbye. And Ruth clung to her. And they were saying their goodbyes. But Naomi said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to who? Because wherever you live, wherever you dwell, you're going to find yourself coming under the influence of the gods of those people. And that is why you have to be careful who your friends are. You have to be careful who you are spending time with, who you are connecting with, because the spirit in which they operate will be working against you as a child of God. And its design is to rob you of your relationship with God so that you don't serve him, but serve whatever God is that that person has made up. Because there is no other God except the Lord. All the other gods are idols. They're false gods. And so people who are not following the Lord, they find themselves in this place of idol worship. And that is still the case today. People are idol worshipers. And that, for them, was the god Chemosh, as I said earlier. She says, return after your sister-in-law. In other words, go serve those gods over there. Go serve them. But Ruth said no, right? She said, don't beg me, don't urge me to leave. I don't want to leave. I want to stay. I don't want to turn back from following you. You see, they were following you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And as people are walking with the Lord, we are able to walk together. But when people go astray, we have to leave them alone. We have to let them go. You want to go another way, then you have to go. Go ahead. But I am going to follow the Lord. And that's what Ruth did. She made a choice. She said, your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Hallelujah. And that's what you and I are looking for. When we go into the world and we interact with people, we don't want to be changed into their image. We want them to be changed into ours. We want them to follow the Lord as we follow the Lord. Our desire is for them to experience newness of life and the power and the presence of God, even as we have. God is doing a new thing in the lives of his people so that each generation can be more and more of what he needs them to be, so that in the appointed time, the power of God can be manifested. And so verse 17 says that she said, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. I bet you Naomi said, well, I guess that about says it all. But by then, Orpah was dust, right? She was gone. She was nowhere to be found. But Ruth was right there holding on. And so when Naomi saw that, Ruth was determined. You see that? That means that there was no convincing her otherwise. There was no way to change her mind. In other words, her thinking was so rooted in her, was so much a part of her, it was impossible to change. And that is the way you and I need to be. The Word of God says, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You and I need to be like Ruth, determined, steadfast, and immovable. We need to say, Lord, you are my God. I will serve you. Where you go, I will go. What you say, I will do. Where you go, I'm going to go. And whatever it is that you've called me to do, I will be faithful. And we hold on to God. And so Naomi said nothing else after that. She had nothing else to say. She was like, all right, here we go. And so some people are committed to people, while others are committed to God and his people. Hallelujah. Because you cannot separate God from his people. God and the people of God are united together. The Word of God says they are one. Hallelujah. They are one. And when you are authentically walking with God, I'm not talking about these people who got all these titles and issues and things going on in their minds. I'm talking about people who are authentic in their walk with God. Because when you're authentic and you're walking with God, the only name you need is child of God. Because child of God is more powerful than any other human label that could go along with that. And if you have, if first of all, if you have the Holy Spirit of God operating in his fullness in your life, you got all the gifts anyhow. No title with, if you, in fact, if a title was put on you, it would really sell you short, because you are so much more than whatever that was they put on you. And if you want to hold on to a little piece when God is willing to give you the whole pie, then have at it then. And so I would suggest to you that you draw close enough to God so that you could be liberated from a need to have a title or another name, and that God would enable you to operate in his power and his strength so that you aren't proven to be not true. Hallelujah. So if you have a gift, use it. Your gift will make room for you. Hallelujah. Whether anybody else acknowledges or not, if you have a gift, use it. Use your gift. Operate in your gift. Then nobody can deny it. If you can heal people, heal them. Why are you saying, well, they don't acknowledge my gift? Well, nobody's acknowledging it because nobody sees it. Hallelujah. That's why. So when you operate in your gifting, then God will highlight it and raise it up. And that's what is happening here in this story. God raises people up. Hallelujah. And some people are committed to people while others are committed to God and his people. And our job is to go into all the world. And what you do in the world makes all the difference. You an evangelist? Then you ought to be bringing souls in from the street. Every time you come in, you ought to have somebody with you. You're coming in. You're coming in. Why? Because you're witnessing, you're sharing, you're talking about. A lot of times we're dealing with this stuff. People want to evangelize other Christians. Hallelujah. They fishing in the pond over here to bring it, to put it in the pond over here. Hallelujah. Well, God says, don't fall for that nonsense. Don't you fall for that. We're not fishing in a pond that somebody else has stocked. Hallelujah. God has called us to go into the world and make a difference. And when you make a difference in the world, then your gift will make room for you. God will manifest himself in your life. And you and I, we need to be committed to God and the people of God as the word of God takes effect in our lives. In Ruth 2:1, it says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of wealth of her family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Have you ever heard people say, yeah, I'm looking for my Boaz, right? I remember a long time, people used to always be saying that in the old days. Yeah, she's looking for her Boaz. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Well, Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean from the ears of grain after him whose sight I shall find favor. And Naomi said, go, my daughter. And Ruth went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to step on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Yeah, man, she just so happened to step. You see, there's no such thing as just so happen, because God is orchestrating her steps. And your steps and mine, we are steps of the righteous, are ordered of the Lord. That means that God literally takes your foot and puts it where it's supposed to go. God causes things to happen. He places us. So there's no just so happens. It just so happens. God has a plan. Why? Because she said, your God be my God. So now God says, I got you. God says, I got you. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to take care of you. And so now things are taking place. There's a manifestation that's coming alive in the midst of Ruth's life. And it says that Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. You see, he wasn't ashamed to say, the Lord bless you out in public. He wasn't ashamed to acknowledge the Lord. He came in and blessed the Lord. Hallelujah. Saints of God, don't be ashamed to bless the name of the Lord, to let the name of the Lord be praised. You could be anywhere. Go to the mall. Go to ShopRite. Go to Walmart. Go to work. Go everywhere and say, the Lord be with you. Be bold with the name of the Lord. Spread the Lord's name. Give it out. Share it. Impart it to people. Because once you mention the name of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is released. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. You want to change an atmosphere quick? All you do is go, the Lord bless this place. Hallelujah. May the name of Jesus fill the house. Spirit of the Lord, have your way. And once you begin to acknowledge God, oh, my God, everything begins to change. You can change everything. When you see the devil rising up, all you do is go, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, just let it out. Just go, hallelujah. Oh, when the breath comes out of you, the Spirit of the Lord will come. Yes, yes, yes. And I guarantee people are going to be like, but you watch them get away from you. That spirit will be like a mist. It'll go out. People will be like, they won't even know what's happening to them. All of a sudden, they're just going to be way over here somewhere. And you're going to be in a whole different atmosphere. You're going to be going, yes, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord has now begun to fill the place. All you need to do is acknowledge him. The Spirit of God will show up. Oh, Ruth and Naomi, they understood this principle. They didn't get mad. They didn't get angry. Oh, next time, instead of getting mad, just go, Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, just say glory to God. Somebody get on your nerves. Somebody say something that offends you. Don't cuss. Don't swear. Just go, Lord Jesus. Just say, Lord God, just mention the name of the Lord. Just release it, and what's in you will come out, and all of a sudden, whatever spirit is on them, they'll come off. It'll come. They'll be like, oh, my goodness, and they'll start to be changed. And so in the story, these servants, they recognize Naomi, because when God highlights you, he will cause you to be seen. He will cause you to be recognized. They said, she is the Moabitish girl who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. In other words, I want to just be with the beggars. The reapers were the people whose job it was to collect the harvest. But then those who came after, those who were gleaners, who came along after, they were left for the poor. In fact, there was a law in Israel that said the 10% around the outer edges of the crops of the field had to be left for the poor. Hallelujah. They weren't allowed to eat everything. They had to leave some for the poor. And so she was going to glean and collect in the area of those who were poor. But God rose up in her behalf, and she was able to experience God. And so God will transform you and I from a people of Chemosh, serving false gods, people who are operating in contrary spirits, a people with no hope, no purpose or future, to a people of the kingdom of God. And saints of God, never forget who you are. Never forget who you are. When you forget who you are, you'll go moping around as if you're from Chemosh. But God says, don't allow the spirit of Chemosh to rise up in your life. Let the Spirit of the Lord bring life to you, bring joy to you. Operate in the love of God, in peace, with patience, kindness, and gentleness. God will do a new thing in your life. God will cause you to shine in the newness of his Son. Verse 18 says, now these are the descendants of Perez. Perez, Sister Perez, how you doing? Praise the Lord. He was the father of Hezron. Hezron of Ram. Ram of Amminadab. Amminadab of Nashan. Nashan of Salmon. Salmon of Boaz. Boaz of Obed. Obed of Jesse. And Jesse of David, the ancestor of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, she went from serving false gods and idols to being an heir to the Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, in her womb while she was begging, she had the seed of Jesus in the midst of her belly. Oh, she was about to give birth to David. She was a great, great grandmama. Oh, saints of God, there are things happening in you, in your life, that may not be manifested for generations to come. You may never know. Ruth didn't know. They didn't know. Naomi didn't know. All she knew is my God will be your God. She held on to what God was doing, and greatness came from her womb. Saints of God, there's greatness in your womb. God is doing something great in your life. You may not see it. You may think you're a tadpole. You may think that you're just crawling along or swimming along, but God is birthing new features in the midst of your life. God is transforming you into something that is unique, that is different. He is making you a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things are becoming new, because God is doing a metamorphic change in your life, transforming you from the world of the flesh to the realm of the spirit, where the glory of God can be manifested in your life. Amen? Amen. Know that you are worthy, and you are worth everything that God is investing in you. Nothing that you've experienced will go to waste. God is doing a new thing, and he is raising you up so that your generations to come will be blessed. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Come on. My battles. Oh, yeah. Come on. Hallelujah.
Oh, this is how I fight my battles.
You're going to be surrounded by something. You might as well let it be the presence of the Lord. You want to be the spirit of the Lord. Don't believe every spirit, but put it to the test. All you need to do is lift up the name of the Lord. All you need to do is acknowledge him, and he will direct you. He will liberate you. He will set you free. No matter what you're going through, freedom can be obtained when you call upon the name of the Lord, when you acknowledge him, when you allow his name to be exalted in your life. All you need to do is open your mouth and say, "Dear Lord, have your way in my life. Forgive me for my sins, oh Lord. Wash me and cleanse me." You know God forgave you for your sins already before you even asked? What? God has already forgiven you for your sins. Hallelujah. It's just your job to acknowledge them. You just need to say, "Lord, I know I sinned." God says, "I know and I forgave you. I forgave you at the cross. That's why I went there, so that you could be free." But until you acknowledge your sin, then you can be free from your sin. But if you try to cover it up, then you can't be free. So God says, just let it out. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I have sinned." Hallelujah. And when you acknowledge your sin before the Lord, God will come in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the love of God. God says, you can't fool me anyway. You can't hide from me. So you might as well just say it. Just say it. Just be honest. Be truthful. And God says, I will transform your life. God says, you will be changed. You will be changed. Sometimes we don't see that God is changing us. But I tell you, other people can see the change in you. Did you know that? Other people can see the change in you. You can't tell, but other people can. Why? Because when you swim in the pond, there's no mirror. There's no mirror in the pond. The tadpole's swimming around in the water. All of a sudden, he's got legs. The other fish are like, oh, what in the world? What's up with that? But they're just swimming. Hallelujah. Other fish are going, man, what's that? Man, you got a funny thing sticking out there. What are you doing? You're not like us. And that's the way the world is looking at you and me. We're in the world. The world is like the pond, right? They're just swimming in the water. The world wants everybody to look like a fish. But God says, no, no, I'm going to give you some strong legs so you can kick. Because sometimes, you know, you got to kick the devil out the way. You got to kick the devil out. Kick the devil out the way. Because that devil don't play. And he'll grab on and he'll hold on. And you'll be, right? You'll be able to kick that thing. You know the frog, he got little arms, right? He'd be in the water. But them legs, boy, pow, pow. He'll be doing like this. He'll be, pow, pow. And sometimes you get into situations, you got to remember, wait a minute, I got some strong legs. Come here, get behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. Sorry, bro. Right? Shame that devil. That's not who you are. You're not like them. You're not of the world. You're a new creation. God is doing a new thing. And one day you're going to come out of the water altogether. And you'll be sitting on the side breathing air. Air is the realm of the spirit. It's the ruah of God. It's the pneuma of God. That's the breath of life. Frogs are breathing air. They're like, ruah, ruah, ruah. Hallelujah. Right? That's the sound of all the life in them. And that's what God will do for you. When the Lord fills you with your spirit, you're going to be going, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Rub, rub, rub. People are like, what's wrong with them? They say, oh, that's that frog spirit got on them. Hallelujah. They ain't got a frog spirit. What is that? Yeah, they've been transformed. They've been metamorphosed into a worshiper. All of a sudden, they're glorifying God. Now they're magnifying God. Now they're kicking the devil out. Hallelujah. They're kicking the devil out. I was with one of our FCA missionaries last week, Steve Mayanja. And he said, and we all laughed. He said, we planted 321 churches in Africa. And he said, you know what we're doing? He says, Pastor, you know what we're doing. He said, we are kicking the devil out of Africa. Hallelujah. 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 And saints of God, you and I, we're kicking the devil out of Goshen. Hallelujah. Now we're kicking the devil out of Goshen. We're kicking him out of Orange County. We're driving the devil out. He's got to go. He cannot stay here. He will not be at my house. He won't be at your house. We're kicking the devil out. Saints of God, God is doing a new thing. Let your life be transformed. Let God be glorified. Come on, one more time. Different titles. Yes. Hello. Woo. Hey.
This is how I fight my battle.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Hold on one second. Hold on. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, and the Lord just dropped it in my spirit. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we're gonna pray for every mother. We're gonna pray for every mother. All the mothers, raise their hand. God says that we are to pray for you. We're gonna pray for you, for your generations. For your generations. We are going to pray and we are going to call on God, and God is going to show up. And God is going to do a work in your lineage. And some of you may have children that aren't serving the Lord. They're kind of out there. God is going to do something. God is going to do something. Some of you are having challenges in your home, maybe with your husband. God is going to do something. And I really believe that God is calling us to pray. And that we're, Pastor Michal, Pastor Roth, let's get ready. Let's get ready. Jorge, let's get ready for that. We're going to spend this next week in prayer and fasting for next Sunday. Hallelujah. I can't believe I'm saying what I'm saying right now. Hallelujah. Prayer and fasting. Jesus. Because I believe that God wants to cover his people. God is covering his people because the world is truly an evil place. And it's designed to rob you of your future through the generations. But God is a shield and a protector. He will cover us. And we're going to have a time of prayer. And I don't know if I'll get to preach or not, but we'll see. Hallelujah. But we're going to pray. And we're going to look for a move of God. And then we're going to record testimonies after that. When God does something, God is going to give you something to testify about. And we're going to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would do a new thing in all of these households. Because we're not like everybody else. And we're not like every other church. And I believe God is doing something special. There's a reason that we're here. There's a reason that we use Brand New Start as a theme. It's not by accident. It's because the Lord has directed and ordered it to be so. And so I'm sorry that I kept you here so late. But hallelujah, I feel the Spirit of the Lord is really holding us. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is really holding us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I just encourage you to take it in. Take in the presence of the Lord while you're here. You don't have to leave. You don't have to run out. This has never been that kind of place. The altars are open. I'm going to pray. And the altars are open if you want to pray. If you just want to sit and abide in the presence of God, this is the house of the Lord, and that's what it's for. And so those of you who want to go, you're absolutely free to go. I don't feel like we're holding you. I know some people have to go to work. Some people have other places to go, other things to do. But God is compelling me to release the altars to you so that you can meet him here for yourself. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. I ask, oh God, that you would manifest yourself in every life. There are some here who are like Naomi. There are some here that are like Orpah. And there are some here who are like Ruth. God, I pray that we would all become like Ruth, where you become our God and your people become our people, where we become one with you and one with each other, where we are committed to the work of the Lord and to the Spirit of God, that you may do a new thing in our lives, that you may prepare us, that our lineage might be blessed, might be strengthened, and might be prepared to do a great work for the sake of the kingdom of God, to overcome evil with good, that the glory of God would be manifested in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would show yourself again and again and again, that you would be lifted up and exalted, and that you would enable us to overcome. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you thanks, oh God. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yeah. Hey. Come on. Yes. We love him. Love him. Oh.